you mind singing a song, rise and sing that song, Open the Windows of Heaven, while I draw on the board? So, Timothy, you can lead that if you want. Thanks. You may be seated. Was that the desire of your heart this morning as you sang that song, that the Lord would open up the windows of heaven? It is His desire to open it up. And in a scripture, Jesus Himself in Matthew said, it was a sower that went forth to sow, and He sowed it. And we can read there that some of it fell on stony ground. And as we look at stones, there's some flat stones, and there's some pointed stones, and there's some very, all of them are hard. But you know, the pointed stone, the seed just rolls right off. And then the flat stone, if the seed was sown, it laid on top, but it dried up. They couldn't. And then there was this ground that was the ground that was a hard ground or unworked, and the seed laid on top there also. And then there was this ground that was all worked up, but there was thorns and thistles that came up and choked it, the seed and the plants. And then there was this good ground where kept the weeds away from choking up what was growing. And that is dear to me as a farmer. I realize that is my business, is to keep the weeds under control and seed in the ground. And when tractors are driving over my newly seeded fields for by accident or something, I automatically know there won't be much crop right there. But today it's God's heart that the seed of God would go forth. And that there has been times when the seed was spewing all onto one man. But it's not that way this morning. God's Word is desiring to go into all corners of this church, falling evenly upon the whole of group of God's people. And as we go through the message, there is no intentions of mine to focus on one person or the other, but the seed of God is here. And if there is not a sower to go forth and sow the Word of God, or if there is not a preacher, or if there is nobody, no father in the home, willing to spread the seed upon his family, it'll die there. It won't bring forth fruit. So this morning, it's God's heart again that the seed would be sown, and it's going to be up to you as a congregation here in Allen County to either receive what God sows. Now, it's not a seed from mine. It's a seed out of God's Word, as Ray shared the children's lesson. The instructions are not ours. We have found these instructions as truth in our last days. Before that, the instructions were just a dead thing to me. You know, I could never obtain to the instructions. But as I took in the seed, the Spirit of God, the instructions made sense. And so this morning, I just was outside, used the restroom a little bit, prayed a little out there. We have a beautiful morning in the fall of 2014. The leaves have already done their job. You know, they have been providing shade in the summer, and bugs and whatnot all could eat off of those leaves. But if you look out the window, if you want to take a moment and look out the window, you see leaves that are near the end. And that is where God's tree, the God's church is today. There's not a question in my mind. We're near the end. We're facing some things, and it's coming soon. I used not to believe that, to be honest with you, as a young man. But as I begin to read more, hear more, and the prophesyings of revelations, I see the old men, when they said the end is near, were more correct than I realized as a young boy. It's a peaceful morning out there. It's peaceful, not much wind, no stirring. It's a beautiful morning. I don't think we could change it. There's peace on the outside. I'm going to put forth the question, is there peace on the inside of your life? For me right now, I don't have a lot of peace. I feel overwhelmed with what God has given me to share. I feel a little bit nervous, but yet I rest in peace. I know that He will provide and that He will bring forth words to edify His people today. I do sow seed. I do have one of those hand crank seeders. And there are times that I crank fast if I want to spread it wide, and I think the stand of grass is pretty good. I go out in my pasture. Actually, the last time we did it, the boys had a four-wheeler from the neighbor rented, borrowed, and they had a lot of fun seeding with the four-wheeler going through. And I told them to slow down when they get to a spot where it looks like it needs to seed. So I would pray that God would just do to this today as we go through the message, that when He knows, He's an almighty God, and He knows what needs are to be in this congregation, in each heart. I don't, but God does. And I'm trusting Him that He would lead us through the sermon, and that at least one person could get a seed or either a fertilizer. You know, a lot of times when you seed, you also mix with the seed fertilizer. And that is also the Spirit of God does. If there's a seed growing, He will nurture it. Paul, in the opening, there where you shared a lot on, it was confirmation that I just felt of God that He was given the words to share that He did. You know how a lot of times when there's an opening and then the children's lesson and then the message, you see that God has put things together before in different men's heart that lead to something He wants to raise up today. So I was encouraged by the children's lesson. I had to imagine Jesus. You know, He went to the synagogue as a little boy, and with all the children here, very attentive to Brother Ray there. I was blessed, Ray. There were these scribes that shared to the children, and the children, among the children, Jesus sat, just like you little children. There was Jesus sitting among the little children at a certain day at a synagogue. Did He not listen to the scribes' words? He listened very closely. So it's important. That's one thing that we need to do. commit into our hearts. When it's God's Word, let's listen closely. If we, in our heart, listen to God's Word with selective hearing, that's what people tell me that I have sometimes. Not very much. But we just hear what we want to hear. That's selective hearing. Now, that is a danger the enemy can use to keep us from hearing the truth. A serious one. Consider it. You either have to decide the Bible's all the way truth or they're all the way untruth. There's nothing like a halfway. If you're selective hearing today and you're saying the Bible, yeah, that's right, but that there. Ray said read all the instructions, I believe. I was out some of the time. But the Bible is the complete truth. If you commit in your heart that part of the Bible is not needing to be in this day and age, or part of it is not for our congregation now, I don't know. That's somewhat selective hearing. And God would want that we hear with an ear all the time. Give ear. In Psalms you can read, I don't know for sure what scriptures, but there's places where God called the Israelites to hear. So as we gather together this morning, I just had a desire to pray. I guess if you don't mind kneeling, I guess we could kneel for prayer. Then we'll raise and I'll get into the message that God has given. Father, as we gather together here, pray first of all that it's not by man's many words, and it's not by a gift of preaching, but it's by your Holy Spirit that people would be touched today. There's a still small voice that is in each of us, either knocking on our heart's door or living inside. Lord, I just pray that the one living inside would be strengthened today, that we would call upon you, Lord, to do the work. So I pray, Father, that you would be present today. Bring the Spirit, your Spirit, the true Spirit. Father, I just pray for each one as we've gathered together. You know the hearts, you know the conditions. You know if there's peace or if there's unpeace, or if there's sorrow or there's grief. Lord, you minister to each need today. We just love you and pray all this in Christ's worthy name. Amen. May you rise back to your seats. We'll page to Galatians. Galatians 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 21. Galatians 4, 24, starting at verse 21. The title above that section of Scripture is Abraham's Two Children. And Paul had used Abraham's two children to make an illustration, and that's kind of the desire that I was laid upon my heart to share. First of all, I realized that I had shared this message, a similar one at home, and I just took it up. I was looking for a message, and I just felt like this might be one that I could share here also. And I'm not sure it'll come out all the way the same, but I did share a message similar to this one at home. And tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid and another by free woman. Now listen, two sons. One was born of the free woman and one of the bondwoman. Listen. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. One is the free, and now he's speaking about the old Mosaic law. And I'm going to use this scripture to the point that we in this day yet have two kingdoms. You know, that was the old Jewish culture that he was dealing with. Paul was telling them it's not by bondwoman, by the Mosaic law. There's a new covenant now, Christ Jesus, the New Testament, you know, that has shed His blood and for remissions of our sins. And here we are in the later days with still two kingdoms. They had two back then also, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of Mosaic law. But we are now, the Mosaic law is behind us. We're beyond that. And so anyways, I'll stop here and I'll illustrate my object lesson a little bit just to get it clear for the children and for everyone listening. I have here a bicycle wheel. I had asked Brother Paul to bring a bicycle wheel along to church. Our children outgrew this size of wheel. We have the big ones, and I didn't really care to have a big wheel. So, and as we look at this wheel, I want us to look at something. A lot of it's the same as the wheel I drew on the board. I drew a buggy wheel. I don't know if that resembles your buggy wheels here in Allen County or not on the board. It's supposed to, but. And there is a difference. That wheel, the buggy wheel, is round on the outside. And it does have a hub in the center. But the outworking of the wheel is a total different thing. I want you to listen closely to me as I share this. The outworking of the wheels, these are supposed to represent the two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan and darkness. This one here, when I shared it at home, I had a black wheel. It represented the kingdom of Satan, the darkness, the evil. This wheel here is one that is tight. This wheel here is not so tight, but the spokes are screwed tight from the outside here. The bicycle wheel has spokes that are pulling tight, and they do not support the hub. These spokes are hanging. If there's a down pressure on the hub, it'll actually pull on from the top down, and that makes the sides want to go out, and so it puts tension on these. And these spokes are thin wire pieces. They are not pushing up. They're not upbuilding. They're not functioning the way that God would have men to do. They are a hanging, a tense. If you're in a wheel of tension, if you're pulled this way and that, you're in a wheel of tension. This is represents the kingdom of God. If you're living in bondage, if you're living in bondage to sin, you got to say a lie so the mothers and the fathers and the whatever all don't find out. And it makes you feel like you're pulled apart. And there's no peace in this wheel, in the kingdom of darkness. There's tension all the time. So that's what functions. This wheel functions on tension. If you would take the tension out of these wheels, the thing would collapse. The kingdom of darkness is not peace, but it is the opposite. It is tension. Peace is a peace that flows from God, given to His people. You know, we don't have peace all the time as children of God. I agree. I'll share with that later. But this wheel, day and night, there is tension, there's strife, there's war. You know, it's a wheel that is just... That is the kingdom of darkness. And if you find yourself in there, there is a better functioning of the wheel. And I want to share with you both wheels from both kingdoms. People living in darkness are going through life. They're going over bumps and hurdles, rocks, valleys. And the kingdom of darkness, the people also have to be going bouncing over rocks as they travel through life. But every time they bounce over a rock, it'll go ding. You know, and they'll explode, maybe say cuss words, and they don't have nowhere to go with finding peace. The kingdom of darkness. I'm going to read on in Galatians, kind of go to the end of the chapter here. So one of these, this one here, we're going to call the wheel bondage of the dark kingdom. This one here, I need to explain a little bit to you. I don't know, is there anybody in here that used to work on buggy wheels? Raise your hands if you did. I had an uncle that would maintain, I had two uncles actually, that would maintain our buggy wheels. On the steel wheel ones, the steel would, on the outside perimeter, would expand. And then he would have to tie them off and bring them back together and bring them all tight. I had two uncles, and I remember as a young boy, I went to my uncle in Pennsylvania, and he was a wheel manufacturer. And he would take out some of these spokes and start making a wheel. He had his slots where he stuck them in. And he started with the hub. And first of all, I want to share with you, there's a three-piece hub in these buggy wheels. I didn't know it till I was 12 years or so old. That was up with my uncle. I said, what is this? He said, that's half of a hub. Half of a hub. The buggy wheels have a two-piece hub. And then they have the hub cap. So it's three-piece. Three things make up the hub. And I can liken that to our Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a three-piece hub that we have in the Church of God. But they make a unit. And as the buggy wheel is a whole different function. This buggy wheel is a supportive. As the load is bared upon this spoke, it is up pushing. It is up building in there. It is not hanging on the top down. You know, it's not just hanging in there and pulling apart. But as the wheel goes around, each spoke does its job in upholding the kingdom of God or in the hub. So as we go through making a buggy wheel, this wheel, the hub, if you take it apart, these bolts in here, if you take those apart, you could slide the outside one part off. And that is one thing you need to do as men and women, is to voluntarily put yourself to the place where you ask God to be joined to His unit. And I'm not going to ask anybody today, but sometime in your life, you will need to see that if you find yourself in the wheel of tension, that this is a voluntary thing. Moms and dads try hard to get their children to take on Christ and the church, the function of God's wheel. But somebody forced into that wheel is not going to be a very good Christian upbuilding. I know when we get there, we may be a small spoke. We may be just a smaller, weaker spoke. But we can grow. That's okay. But the choice is not for man to make for each one. So as you voluntarily put yourself in position, you voluntarily commit to a couple of things. You commit to be baptized. You know, you're committed to be connected to the headship order or the hub, clamped together. You unite yourself into baptism. And you also commit to doing God's will on earth. See, right here is where the road, I actually was going to plan on drawing it. I don't know if we want green for grass or what for sailing. Maybe we could have a green grass here and a rocky road behind us. I don't know. Everybody doesn't like to travel over rocky roads, but that's true facts. We do have rocky lives. Well, that's maybe I'll need to draw a rock on here yet somehow. I want you all to see this. And try to, when you do go home, just think about the realization of the two kingdoms. We need to keep that as men that are called to preach, the men that are called to lead the homes. We need to have that out. There needs to be a knowledge of a darkness and a light, or things won't go on. There is no middle wheel. There is not a wheel that has spokes with tension and spokes that are pushing out. It would never work. So that is my heart today, to realize that there are two kingdoms, and we either live for the one or the other. It says you cannot serve two. So as we go about, that's what I wanted to share with you as we start out here in the message, was that the functioning of the two kingdoms are entirely different. And we'll go on into the message now, and I'll use those for examples later on. Which, in 24 of Galatians 4, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above all, is free, which is the mother of all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for that desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. I'm going to read that again. But even as then, he that was born after the flesh, he that was born after the flesh, persecuteth him that was born after the Spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. A separation. They're not mixed. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. My uncle took much care, and when he was creating a wheel, he was having a business that he was starting. He took much care when he chose a spoke for the wheel making. A crooked one, he either, I don't know if he pushed it straight or what, but that is how God desires for us. If we yield ourselves to God's kingdom, we may be as crooked as ever, but his desire is to make something out of us. That is the life of a Christian. That is a life that it seems so hard when you see some of these older men up there preaching. And you say, like, I'm not there. But I want to share with you that every tree, every limb, these are wooden spokes. And every one of these were just a very little twig at one time. Did God have a use for them? Yes. They ended up in a wheel of a spoke. A spoke in a wheel. And that is God's heart. Each young child, each person who lives on the earth does not need to be as Brother Paul Schmucker was. When he passed away, he was over at our fellowship the Sunday before he passed. And Brother Paul and I, we had a lot of common. I guess our natures were more the same. He would speak, and one time we were down at Leon's there, and we're concreting, and I said, we need our Bobcat. And he said, is yours home? And I said, yeah, we need to go get. He said, can I ride along? No, I asked him to go along, I think. And we rode in that truck about 5 miles together, picking up the Bobcat and coming back. That was a little before he passed. And Brother Paul and I had a good relationship, and a lot of that relationship was silent. But when we spoke, we connected, and he was a man that had a desire after God. And I got to confess to you that I feel that he was a church spoke. A lot of times they call it a pillar in the church. But in today's message, he was a spoke in the wheel. And do you realize that when one of the spokes are taken, and it will happen in his congregations more if the Lord allows it to, that there will be spokes taken. Brother Mark doesn't have very many years left. He knows that. And he's a spoke in the wheel. Are you young children? Are you old, middle-aged men growing to take his place? Or will this church? See, it's God's heart that each church, each congregation has a working out of his. See, this is Godhead. And that's another thing I need to share real quick with you that I forgot. This wheel is designed, if you look at it, the spokes are not coming straight out of here going to there. They're coming out slanted from the hub. And some of you may not know why, but it's this. If that wire would be coming straight out of here to there, and you would put force to the wheel to turn it, like the back wheels of a bicycle, it would twist that hub right around. But that strengthens that whole thing. And that is the kingdom of darkness. The enemy will take you, and even further than you imagine to go, and you'll fall right off. That's the enemy. That wheel is created to take you. And this wheel is taken by God, and you willingly, obediently follow. There is no driving power in this wheel. All you say to God is that wherever you lead me, I will follow. And a lot of times when I'm following God, as Conestoga wagons headed out west, those wheels on those Conestoga wagons had no idea what all lay ahead of them. But on one thing I know, I have more mentality than a wheel, or more, I'm not blind like a wheel. I know they went through rough tearing. That is God for both wheels. It says there where Paul wrote, I have it later in the scripture I was going to, where Paul read, that, let's page to it while I'm there. James 4, 1 to 7. And those wheels, when they were headed out west, they went through rocks, they went through clay, they went through mud, they went through water where they were submerged under. But did they still support their hub? A good wheel did. Sometimes it looked like they were drowning. Sometimes it looked like the whole thing's not going to hold out. But one thing do not let loose of that hub. You'll be okay. I'm trying to share this for encouragement for us all as we go through dark times, as we go over bumps in our roads, in our marriages, and in our home life, and in our churches, That is God's heart that we stay connected in the whole thing. I said James 4:1-7. I know it's not 1-7 that I wanted to share. I'll just share that one verse that I... It's Peter there. I'll come back to there. It seems like the Lord has not ready for that yet. But in Peter, Peter 5:7-9. I had the wrong reference down. I had written down 1 Peter, but I think it was 2 Peter. I'm a little scattered here this morning, so you bear with me. I was at a blessed wedding yesterday, which you all were, and had many encouraging words there. 2 Peter 5. Well, there's nothing like that. I'm confused for sure. Was it 1 Peter after all? Okay. I thought Miriam found it then for me. But okay, 1 Peter 5. Yep. Anyways, I'm not found it here. It must be in back there. In what it is, Paul, that I was trying to find that you shared was that what the brethren of this world are going through, the men of this world are going through, that the brethren will also go through the tribulations and the trials. Basically, wording it, of this passage here in Peter, verse 9. I'm nervous, so I looked it over again. Yeah. Whom resist the steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions which are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Sorry about that, but this wheel, the world are going through trying times and tribulations just as the wheel of God. We as a church of God are not exempt from going through trying times. Because the trying of our faith worketh patience, you know. So as that wheel, the Conestoga wagon, was headed out west, there was nothing that wheel knew, it didn't know what it had to go through. But that wheel remaining steadfast to its hub, the whole thing got there. And it's God's desire for a congregation to raise him up as God and continue to hold him as the head, as God's church. Now, this wheel here, if you would take all the godly men out of the wheel, all the spokes out of the wheel, even the young children that are just beginning to uplift God's commandments and standards. If you would take the young children out, that would, it would just be a crash. And what a hopeless feeling that would be if my buggy wheel when I was courting Miriam the first date would have crashed. Oh, that's how God would feel if we would allow him down. And my heart is to encourage you, going through tribulations, going through muddied roads, rocky roads, let's remain faithful. Let's remain faithful in upholding God. For we are sealed with him in baptism, bowled together with him in the hub. Okay. I'm going to work a little on brotherhood. But first of all, I'm going to work a little in the home. See, we can study up on Scripture so much that we understand where the verses are found, and I'm not good at this. But we can understand what Scripture words would answer that problem, or what Scripture words would answer that problem. If you really look at it, if you really look at the whole gospel, Christ living on the earth, Jesus Christ living on the earth, he came here to show us the way, the truth, and the life. We realize that. But what he actually came for is to show us how to work the road. When we have trying times, he says, cast all you care upon him. He's sharing that when we are in life and we have cares and toils and trials, load it on him. Load it onto the hub, or trust him. So when Jesus came, his mission was to teach the people of God how to deal with issues in life, the real, actual issues in life. You know, there was a sorrowing mother who lost her son. He raised it back to life, telling us that if we lose a child in our family, someday it'll be raised back. Many things. If there was sorrowing, he comforted them. If there was sin, he forgave them. And if there was that is the outworking of the wheel that we don't want to forget. And as we go into the family, it's going to come practical a little more. And I don't know your family as well, so it's almost easier for me to share this message here than it was at home. And it was all right at home. It was a blessing for the little congregation there. But as we're in the home, there are situations that arise in life. I'm saying during the weekdays, when we're traveling a long life's journey, we don't go fast. Sometimes I think we go really fast. But as we journey a long life's journey, there will be a time when there's a bump in the road. And I'll start out with this. We're in the kingdom of God now, so we should use that wheel. But I'm up front here, and I'd like to illustrate it. But in the kingdom of God, we're supporting God. We're yes, Lord, what you ask me, I will do. That's actually the words that I told him the night I got saved. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. That's the only way you can grow in God, if you obey and just say, Lord, whatever. And it may be taking out the trash. That's the best place. Taking out the trash. Or just the littlest thing. If you do it with a willing and a wanting heart, you're doing it for God. If you're doing it because you must, you're in this wheel of tension. I don't want to. I wish mom and dad would make him do it, or make him, my son, brother do it. That's the wheel of tension. You won't be happy there. You'll be happy by simply obey a little bit at a time. That's all we grown men can do either, is do obey as we know how to obey. It's that simple. But as we went through life, we're in the church of God now, and we have this other wheel back here illustrating a bump in the road. And I want to share with you Sister Frances and her family were this close when Paul was at our church of hitting a rock. That was a couple days before Paul's death. And Sister Frances and her family, this was a Graber family, almost hitting the rock. I'm going to put a rock in the grass. There's rocks in grass. I'm going to put a blue rock there. Oh, no. It shook the whole wheel, remember that. When Paul passed, it shook the whole wheel. But we realize who took the most abrupt jolt. It was the family. And as they came here, and I was out in the hayfield when Brother Paul passed. And I got this text message. At that time, I was supposed to forward to the brotherhood there. And I stopped we stopped the baler out there. And I said, Brother Paul has just passed. And that was a shock. But as that wheel, that spoke of life went on, boom, it hit this spoke the hardest, the family. It was sorrow for them. It was a jolt that they are still maybe struggling a little bit. But I want to share with you, that is the reason of God's kingdom. The whole outworking of God's kingdom is that you were the rest of them. Did you feel it also? If your heart was right, you did. They needed to feel that. In this kingdom of tension, when there's a death, I have a milk inspector, not an inspector, that is laying in a coffin right now. I don't know if he's cremated or not. They called Thursday, and he's passed. He's getting close to my age. He's not much older than I am. I knew him well, his actions and things. But he's laying in a coffin. It blowed his wife. If she has nowhere to go, no comfort, no true comfort, she can have her friends hug her and weep with her. But if that agape love that we heard about yesterday is not in her wheel, she will not find what she needs. That agape love needs to stay in the wheel of God. In the kingdom of God, for the outworking, there needs to be forgiveness. There needs to be when there is a boom of sorrow. I know you sisters and brother really reached out for Francis and the family. Praise the Lord for that. But what I'm sharing with you is just the actual facts of life as we go through life. We will face those. I don't know if my wife and family will be the next. I know when Bob Grimshaw, on the last time I was here, Bob shared a message, and he said, I speak to a dying people as a dying man. And he went through something the next morning or a couple days later. So let's gather with sobriety, realizing life is but a vapor, it says. I realize it more and more as we get older. Okay, wheel of tension. Coming home from your day. We've been out of work today. We have a lot of construction workers here today. Your wife, she's at home with the children. Their school being taught at this time of the year, I'm sure. She's at home with the children. Maybe some of the children 10 years old and older. And working, disciplining, keeping the children in order. And a man, he's out in work. He had a busy day at work. He's been working and he hit his fingernail a few times. And he was working on a board. And then the lady came there, the house that they were building, the lady came there. I'm just drawing a picture in your mind. Let it draw in your mind. And as the man was working away just as fast as he could go, he realized his two-by-fours, he don't have enough. He should have brought more along. Now it means he doesn't have enough studs to frame this wall. That means we can't even set the truss that he had planned on setting. And then the lady comes over and she says, I didn't want the roof line that way. That doesn't look right. And you try to be very nice to that lady. She's your customer. She's the one you're trying to please. Or the man, whoever you're building the house for. But inside of you, as a man of God, you allow a little bit of this tension to rise up. See, the reason I share this to you, that I can share it, this is stuff I deal with. I deal with this, not daily, but there's things. The hay baler breaks and the storms is coming and just, whoo. I don't know, the Allen County people may not be that way, but that's something I have. But anyways, you come to the place where the lady has put this tension on you. And the worker, he was just being lazy or maybe all day, but he did a lot of good work and you kind of had a good time. And as you're coming home, you get this phone call that distracts you. And about before you get home, you see your horses are out. And here you come home with tension in your wheel, ready to go bing. And your wife is in the house with the same tension. With the children, she had a busy day. And she was in with the children all day. And the tension builds up. I'm going to put this in. Do you know, I know you men do. We men do. I know how a motor works. I actually overhauled some of them already. But we have turbos on motor to boost the pressure in there that makes it fire harder. And as the pressure is up, it fires harder and gives more power. Do we have turbo pressure gauges in our lives? Or are we men that are going about having turbo pressure gauges in our trucks and none in here? That's Nelson Shirk for many years. I would go around and didn't even know what made me mad at the cow, but I was mad. And that is because I was built up with this, too much of this. And I didn't know how to vent it. We need to vent the pressure down. When we feel we're coming home from work with that pressure, men, unload. It wouldn't be bad to stop beside the road, and we know where to unload. It says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Then go meet your wife. Your wife unloads on you. But if you're full of pressure and she unloads on you, it'll backfire. And it'll go ding. And the children will not be blessed. The family cannot be blessed. I'm sharing this. This is our experience as we go through life, my wife and I, that we have just come to growing and knowing this in the last few years. There used to be squabbles. There used to be fiery times. And I'm just sharing this to you with love. I'm not near perfect. But I do have a pressure gauge in my life, thank God. When it gets high, I try to unload, but I didn't the other day. I'm going to share this story with you to realize that we do have actual happenings. And the Holy Spirit may lead you as you go through your day and convict you that you need a pressure gauge or that you need to let your wife vent hers onto you. You're a man. You're responsible to take the pressures and the cares of your wife. If you love her, do that. But we went to my wife Monday morning and went and took her mom shopping. Now this was a trip she was looking forward to. And I was home teaching the boys, the two younger ones I'm teaching, and so I was in the house. And Luan was out hunting, and it was a rainy day, and construction was out, so he was home all day. And as a father, I have three sons, we kind of try to organize. I'm not very good at organizing, But I need to organize a little work for them so they do better if there's a little work to do. And Miriam had asked, and she said, if you would find time, that you could clean the wash house and clean it up a little. That's where our chore boots come in and things. I'm bringing this down to our everyday life level. So we can. That is actually where the rubber hits the road is what's... I don't know if you use that term in Allen County or not, but that's where the steel hits the road when the buggy is the actual outworking of the kingdom of God in our everyday life. And as she left, I started thinking. She wanted to... Our house wasn't cleaned this fall yet. And it's been a couple years, maybe. This is embarrassing my wife, but she wanted to have a desire to clean it. And I says, yes, with you being busy, we'll get some Mennonite girls, and they willingly will help clean the house. And so anyways, that made me start thinking, and I'm sharing with you, I had this project that I had to do for a few years already. The basement floor had water going over it when it rained. And we had a desire to work our basement upgraded a little. It's got muddy and dirty looking. We'd like to paint the floor and make it look nicer. So when you as a congregation come for company, that it's more presentable. And on Monday morning, I decided I think it'd be a good day to get the jackhammer and a saw and go to the basement with my boys. It's raining. And we'll cut up outside around the concrete and dig it out and put a drain in. And that way the drain water would drain down and go around instead of going over top of the floor. I had committed myself to having that all done before she gave it back and trying to surprise her that we got this project done. Well, I was giving myself up to a lot of pressure. We do that, men, when we make deadlines, and they don't hold out. We need to let it go. If it don't hold out, we need to realize the Lord has not allowed it to hold out. But I came 4 o'clock. LaVon was running the saw. I had my brother's big concrete saw. I'm getting away from my message, but I want to get to this point. Anyhow, he was cutting, and he got sick, dizzy. And something in him told him it's time to get out. Same way with this wheel. If you have something in you, sharing to you, it's time to get out. It's time to get out. But he did that. He went up and he stumbled, barely made it up on the porch. He almost fainted. And I had watched him go, and I'm getting away from this. But anyway, and I was determined that we got to get this done. So I kept going. And all at once, I almost couldn't get up. I was down. And I went up, and I almost didn't make it up to the air compressor, big jackhammer air compressor, shut it off, and I almost fell over. And I realized it's time for me to buckle down, and I called Mary on the phone. I said, we are doing something today, and then we're not done. Oh, I see. Oh, it shook her to the core. We knew that we were going to do this, but when she came home, she didn't come home full of pressure. I'm sharing this with the ladies. She knew that I was probably under pressure, so the thing worked out. So and men. I know wives should unload their pressure onto the man, but also put pressure gauges in your life. You have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't intend to go there. Okay. Coming home from your day and you meet your wife full of tension. Boom. I shared that with the congregation at home. There was notes exchanged. The father thought it was going to him from his child, and he was smitten. Because he had a full tension day the day before. So there was confession made. And that is one thing you can do now yet. If you had tension 4 days ago, you can do confession. And that releases it all. If you do not confess your faults one to another, your sin, you'll still be in this. So as you have tension and had tension, by confessing him, the pressure is relieved. And it is you're free to go. I kind of feel this message is not very deep, but I do realize it's the actual outworking of God in our lives and how we deal with life situations. Discipline not done in the home. I'm going through the home. There's tensions when there's discipline need to be done. The child has been rebellious and has been screaming that he don't want to eat that medicine or drink that medicine cup. I've witnessed this, and not in my household, but in my dad's household. And this cup of medicine, we call it nighttime medicine, it was this NyQuil. And there's a clear glass cup. And this child was sick. And the worst part was dealing with that child's attitude to get him to drink it. It wasn't that bad tasting. But the whole home, we were there and we knew the child was sick. As older children, I was the oldest one, and my sisters, I can remember the tension as this child struggled and spit it out then. Of course, the child is sick. You do not desire to discipline. But it needed to be. That's what happened. One of my parents took him and disciplined him, and he took it willingly. But undealt discipline in the home will be attention not just for the child. It'll be attention for the parents. It'll be attention for the other siblings. I'm sharing this out of love and a little bit of experience, and I'm not there yet. I feel that if we men become perfect, we won't be here anymore to share these things. So remember, as I share these things, that we are not near there yet either. But if you have a pressure gauge in your life and you feel this tension, sometimes it's discipline not dealt with. Disobedience come in the same line. But as the children grow into men, and men become disobedient to the scriptures, it'll bring a tension more into the church. Raise voice. If you're the workplace and you hear somebody working way back there, it might be a 100-foot building, and you see a man working back there, and he raises his voice, you automatically, whoo, and he's not normally doing that. That tension flowed at you, and you tense up. They call it tense, you tense up. That is coming from this kingdom, the tension is, and the spirit that creates that. And I'm not sharing that if you fail once or twice, that you're a sinful man and that you're in this kingdom. That is not what I want to represent. What I want to represent and make you, if you confess your faults one to another, you're a free man again. If you raise your voice at a brother at church and you confess it and say you're sorry, ask for his forgiveness, you can be free to go on. I'll go and share one more thing, then we'll go into church brotherhood. I had two neighbors come over Saturday. I'm confused. Yesterday was Saturday, so Friday. One of them was leaving for California. Had his wife and has two children. The children would be anywhere Lamont's age and to 18 and 16 probably, I'm guessing. And they decided as a family to go on a vacation before the children leave home. So he came and asked me 2 weeks prior to that if I would take care of his 100 head of cattle while he's gone. And I says yes. We have one thing. We have a wedding in Allen County that we want to go to on the day you're leaving. He said, that's okay. We'll feed him plenty on Friday, and then the day was going on Friday. I knew that he wanted to get together with me on Friday, so I decided it's maybe my place to call him to make sure he's not forgot about it. So I called him, and he didn't have time to answer his phone. He was moving cattle, and he was working cattle, and he was all tensed up. And he finally came to my place with a four-wheeler, and he said, Nelson, you want to jump in the back? I'll take you in. And we went. He was in a hurry. And I was on the back, and the fender was rubbing. But anyway, we went in the cattle field, and he grabs hold of the electric fence, just goes under like that. I go, he was in a hurry. And I have a sense that he's under this tension that I'm speaking about. So anyhow, as I got there, I decided with a message I have prepared for you, I'm going to ask him a question. I said, is your wife probably ready to go? He said, oh, yeah, she's been yelling at me for a while already. Ooh. See, I've been around that neighbor a while. There's tension in his home more than just that day. I heard them yelling at each other in front of me. Don't do that. Don't yell at your wife in front of your brother. That is tension, and that is, God desires that we don't do that. But I had seen that in that home. And anyways, I'm just sharing this out of love. There is a gauge that will tell you as a Christian man. It's called the Holy Ghost. Will tell you as a Christian man if the pressure is high or low. Keep in check. Because if you go on and on and on with a pressure light, or let's say the oil low engine oil light is on in your car, and you ignore it, and you ignore it, and you ignore it, it'll be death someday for that car. And if you have a pressure gauge in your life, and you have pressure and tension, and tension and tension, next year, tension and tension, that is what I'm talking about, continual tension. That I feel like I'm maybe loading you up too much, but let's keep checking it. Anyway, his next neighbor, he says he's getting ready. He came over to borrow the tractor on Friday, and I have a bumper hitch trailer, and we have a ball that we can put on a hitch to the tractor, and then he pulls it around and gives his congregation a hay ride on the fall. And yesterday was the day he wanted to do that, so I told him we're leaving Saturday. If he's mind coming Friday, we would hook him up, load the bales up, and prepare him for his thing on Saturday. Yes, he said he'll do that. He'll be there at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock sharp was here. He was there. And I wasn't quite up out of the basement yet. I'm still working down there. Anyhow, as I came up, I seen a smile on his face. And anyway, he's an energetic man. And we loaded up. And I says, are you feeling like you're way behind? Oh, I'm always behind. And so I says, so you feel like you'll make it? Yeah, I'll make it. Whatever doesn't get done, that'll be fine. See, he was not letting that pressure build up in his life. He was like, whatever God allows me to get done, then I'll be fine. You get the picture? The one was, I got to do this yet. I got to do that. I got to do that. The next one said, yeah, whatever we don't get done, it'll be fine. He'll get the most important things done, but the little things, that'll be fine. Let's not have our focus so much on what we got to have all organized. Let's trust God. What we get done in our life's journey or in our day, that it was sufficient for that day. I'm going to page back here to Peter 5 and read 7 and 9. Going to back up what I just shared. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking to devour you, that he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions which are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And at this point, I will share with you that this spoke is in here loosely. As far as if there would be a buggy maker here, I would ask him for sure. But these bolts are between the spokes, clamping it together. There is not a screw that I know of going through the hub into the wood. And right here, it's mortise and tenon. There's a hole drilled, and the spoke is stuck in that hole. So this spoke is by no means tied to the wheel. Yes, it's kept there by the power of God. But there is nothing that of a thing that you can go away from the kingdom of God. I mean, if you in your mind decide that you don't want to support God in everything, you're already becoming a loose spoke. Then all at once, you don't want to support him, you can come out. Which this one here, the wheel of tension, it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to deliver you from that wheel. You're bound in there so much with bondage of sin or whatever. And it's the same way, working together as a brotherhood. What I wanted to share with you as a brotherhood was this. I'm going to go to this wheel because it is functioning as this wheel. And there was a time in my life that I would say that ministers are the spoke of the wheel and we just kind of ride along. That's the wrong picture of the wheel of God. It needs to be strengthened by each of you. It's not the ministers that uphold God. It's each one walking out the will of God on this earth every day. So as this wheel is going around, goes around, I don't know if you all can see it, but I'm going to draw a mucky place in the road, a mucky, black, mucky ground. This wheel is floating with peace right now. Each one is upholding God. Each one is praying. Each one is saying, yes, Lord. And when it comes around his turn, he'll say, yes, Lord, I uphold you. And he goes around and it comes to a place where it's just freely coasting. You're saying, God, wheresoever you lead, I will follow. It's not a driven wheel as the devil does. Sin will take you further than you. It's a driven wheel. But this one here is a voluntarily submitting under God. Wherever he leads, I will follow. And as the wheel goes on, You bounce over a rock. I shared that as Paul's funeral. It jarred the wheel. It goes on. There's muck. It'll go right down in there. There's some men here that need to muddy their feet for the wheel to go on. What I'm sharing is, don't be afraid of the mud. If God has you going through the mud, let your feet be muddy. Remain at the wheel, under the hub. God's desire, the sailing is, it's it's not an easy road. It's a song that we sing. And as we go through these mucky times, is where I want to focus. That's a brotherhood. It is not the time. I shared this at home. I had more nerve to share this at home than I do here. At home, I said, I'm part of that wheel at home. I can honestly say that I feel my heart is in that wheel at home, the congregation, more than it was a year ago. It is us. And here it's you, a wheel. But I told the brothers that when we go through a muddy time, please don't leave the wheel then. We need each spoke. And that was my heart, and it still is. It's God's heart. If there's reasons to leave the wheel of God, you know, if they're not under God, and if things are not, you know, if they're not upholding God in every perspective of God's doctrine and Bible, it's time to share with the brothers and see if they yield themselves under, and if they're doctrinally being misled, it's time to go back under and support the hub, Christ's kingdom. I shared with them that, and there was a lady that I looked over the congregation as you, and she with tears in her eyes said, no, don't leave the wheel then. There'll be a time when there's a little better sailing, then start talking, and if you're still not at peace, and you know, those things. I'm sharing this out of love. I'm not sharing this out of a person putting you down at all. But it is like if my wife would leave me, and she wouldn't have came back Monday, I would have had an awful mess. I need her. That's the same feeling it should be in brotherhood. Brotherhood relationship seems to sometimes, there's a couple sections in this out here, in a wheel. I don't know where they used to make a joint, like here and here. They call that a failure in German. I don't know what you call it in English. It's a joint in the outside. And sometimes it seems a band, a steel band outside, that it keeps it all together, is stretched to the point where everything's going to fly apart. It's time to have a prayer meeting. And you know, things tighten up with prayer meetings and things. So anyways, I'm continuing to keep going here. And when we go through the valley of pain, and when the offenses come, and rumors are told, we're in that wheel. We take a hit. Sometimes we feel like buckling and breaking. But God's strength, that's God's time for strengthening us. The wheel, this life is going to be a life that is a little hard, but there's a life coming where if this wheel, I'm going to share this one, these two are going in opposite directions. This one here, if you notice, is a lot rougher. I was out in the Rocky Mountains, and out there, I know why they call them the Rocky Mountains. There's a rock on every mountain, and not just one, there's a million of them on every rock. And if you go from the Rocky Mountains east, it's a nice flat plain going through Nebraska. And I want to share with you, this wheel here is headed east, towards the plains. This wheel here is headed up a mountain where there's canyons and things, and it'll fall off someday and be cast out into outer darkness. The wheel of God, the kingdom of God, is the one going home. I'm going to bring this closer to a ending. And listen closely to the last point I want to make, because this is the heart of God. This is the heart that God has for each of us. That we would remain faithful no matter what. Remain faithful no matter what. Story was took out of a martyr's mirror. And I'm going to share with a little bit of the children. Sometimes you see this big book that you sit on at a table. They use it to elevate you. It's this thick a book. It's called the martyr's mirror. In those pages are the death of Jesus. And in those pages are the death of the apostles. How they died, how Peter died upside down. It's a gruesome book to read. If you're not converted, you get it like horrible pictures out of this. But if you're converted, you see deeper. You see the outside part of these men's bodies were dead, but the inside part was very much alive. As a believer, you can see that. That book is full of these men, of the testimonies of these men dying under the wheel and saying, I will go with you all the way to the end, Lord. If they burned a match stake, and then they were tied to there, and most of those were singing a song. I wasn't singing a song Monday when I was cutting away on my concrete. But God forbid, I should have had the joy of the Lord as my strength. And that is what their strength was. The joy of the Lord was their strength. George Bauman, listen very closely. It's kind of hard reading because it's an older English, a little like the Bible. George Bauman. Now this is another thing I have to share with you. Most of these men, if you realize it or not, were younger than I. They were more of a teenage age. Not all. I don't know how old this George Bauman was. But if you think, a lot of times I was mistaken it and think it was an old man stood fast for his faith. No, it doesn't need to be that way. I tell you this morning that there can be a young limb strong in the faith, younger than I, with a stronger faith than anyone else or whatever. We don't rate how strong in the faith you are, how far into the kingdom of God you are, because that's not how God sees. What God sees is a willing heart. And a willing heart, if it's a young twig, is just as exciting, if not more, to God than the old faithful. It is to me. If I see a young heart bend after God, it's exciting. About this time, a brother named George Bauman was apprehended in Banschlitz-Württemberg for the faith of the Word of God. The nobleman whose subject he was kept him in prison for a time. Now, what they did back then, when somebody was caught prisoner, they would say, you go and take care of this man. As a soldier, you go take care of this sinner, this man. So they took a soldier and told him to take care, and the soldier imprisoned him for a time, and also he had him dreadfully racketed and tortured. Now, I need to share with you, I looked up a little bit what racketed means. And what they did, they had this winch here and a winch over here, and they would tie his legs to that winch there and a winch back here. And they cranked the winches to where the body almost came apart. And I need to bring in to you, they were trying to separate him out of the kingdom of God and bringing him into the kingdom of tension. They gave him awful tension trying to do it, saying, renounce that faith and come back to the Catholic Church, where everything was systematic and you had to do it the Catholic way. And they were untruthful and unfaithful. And as he was there, lying on his bed, let's read on. He was laying there, tortured and pulled apart. They did so much to him by imprisonment and torture and pain and also by various promises, so that they persuaded him and gained him back to follow them. Whew. That was torture. What they were literally trying to do was using his physical body to pull him out of committing and following God, saying being baptized with the Holy Ghost and following him, and they were drawing him back into a dark kingdom where there was tension, and they gained it because the suffering was so great. Will you stand? Then they demanded that he should stand up in church and confess that he has denied that faith at the Catholic Church. And he did. He stood up in front of the Catholic Church and he said he's denying that faith. And he's going back to you, the church here in the Catholic Church. Now for the children here, the Catholic Church had become so evil that any one of your parents here would not stay there either. This was something that when they seen truth in God's Word, they seen it and they stood for it. They knew they would have to probably die. But this man was laying there at one time and they pulled apart. Now let's listen. Let's keep on. Don't have patience with me here. In the meantime, he did that once and twice and went to church. And before him, he stood up in front of the congregation that his consent had been extorted from him. In the meantime, he came to himself, praise the Lord, and considered the honor of God in his holy name and also whither he was going. He considered it. He's like, if I am standing up in front of the church, of the Catholic Church, and saying, I'm going to be part of them, I'm going the wrong direction. And he stood up there twice And then he couldn't do it anymore. He didn't have peace. He was torn. He was in this wheel of tension and he detected it. There was no peace flowing from his life. Hence, when he came to church the third time for recantation, that means to stand up in front of them and recant what he had been doing, the church, the godly church, and he got there the third time, he said to the priest and by the bystanders, "You have commanded me and through pain and fear prevailed upon me to follow you, the darkness. But now I renounce and revoke it all. I'm sorry that I did it." Thus he began and confessed anew that this was the divine truth and a divine faith, yea, the way to life in Christ, and that on the other hand, the adulterous life and the ways of this world are an illusion and contrary to God. And it's in the Bible. The ways of darkness, the ways of the world is a tense world. They have these politicians, they have men fighting against each other for these high honors and presidentries and things like that. It's a war going on in amongst us of who is the highest. That is not God's way. I'm sharing this out of love, not trying to yell it into you, but I get worked. But anyways, God's servant's the opposite. Anyway, he told them that he's going back to Christ. And that on the other hand, the ways of the world are a delusion and contrary to God. In this, his faith and confession, he intended to continue and preserve it unto the end. For what should the servants and priests wait any longer? Hence they quickly apprehended him, grabbed him again, and he was speedily sentenced to death. If he's doing that, let's kill him. And when he was led out of the way, this is where I want you to really hear. This man knew that it was death for him. But listen, he was not in that wheel of tension anymore because he had told God, "I'm coming back." Now listen. When he was led out to the way of the place of execution, he sang joyfully all the way. It was very muddy in that village, but he walked briskly, nevertheless, so that his shoes remained stuck fast in the mud, and he stepped right out of his shoes, and he took no notice of it. Left them there, hurried on to the place of execution, and sang for the joy that God had given him again such courage and heart. Thus he was beheaded with the sword, and the nobleman who caused his execution, and nearly all who sat in the judgment and condemned him, died almost every one of them a miserable death, and came to a dreadful end, so that their happy days in this world terminated in sorrow. Do you get the picture? The man, I don't know in how many, if it was only a few minutes after he had said he wants to be part of God's kingdom, they killed him. And it says in Paul, I had read it here in Peter, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And that's what happened. The devil was trying to devour the faithful one. But the faithful one walked in peace with God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength as we go through life. So remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength, going through mucky ground, going through plains, going over rocks. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He died faithful. Will you? Will I? He died singing and at peace, not in a wheel of tension, but obediently upholding God's kingdom, the three Godhead. He was upholding God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Will you? Will you be faithful to the end? Leave you with that. Lord bless you, and go home and put a pressure gauge in your home. Don't feel like if you fail that you're worthless. I failed. I had to apologize to my wife this week for a thing I shared with her. The way of coming out of that tension is confession. It's a daily thing, not always, but it's a thing that we adult men can do. It's hard, but we can do it.